Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Right now I'm talking with Chase Mason, a vocalist of Gate Creeper. They're going to be coming through May 10th at Numo's with Narrowhead, 200 Stab Wounds, and Fearing. This is a headlining tour for you guys. Last time I chatted with you, things were a lot different, but you're back on the road. First off, are you down in Arizona right now?
Yes, I am. Phoenix.
Right on, man. How's things been? Like last couple months, you guys have been hitting it pretty hard back on the road. How's it been?
It's been awesome. Yeah, like, you know, we couldn't tour for a year and a half or so, almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we did our first tour back in September, October last year. Mm-hmm. And then we just did the one in January and February. So, yeah, it's going to be our third one back. So we're fully back in the swing of things.
Making up for all that time, man.
Yeah. And it's cool. I think people are hungry for it. You know, like people are excited to go to shows again and see live music, so it's the energy is really, really nice.
I've really been digging some of the kind of like compilation videos you guys have been putting up on your social media, kind of like showing people, you know, that shows are really getting buck wild out there. Are you in charge of putting those together?
Yeah. I mean, we try to do a lot of our everything in-house, whether it's obviously the music, but all the visual stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I do some graphic design stuff, and I've been dabbling in video stuff. Our sound guy, who goes on tour with us, he's been getting into video stuff, and he'll record some of our live sets and record, whether it's the audio and the video, and then we compile it to a tour video or whatever it is. You know, like a lot of our flyers, t-shirt designs, you know, if I'm not doing it myself, or I'm working with somebody else to do it, or I'm finding new artists to, you know, collaborate with and commission different stuff for. So we try to keep it all in-house.
That is one thing that's really unique about you guys is, you know, aside from, you know, obviously the music and whatnot, just the visual representation of the tour and specifically like every show, it almost has like its own flyer. You do all of those yourself?
No, I don't do all of it myself. What I do is more kind of like curating.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
You know, there's some stuff of it that I will handle myself. Mm-hmm. But I think that I've tried to find different artists to work with and people who kind of understand the visual aesthetics that we're going for, and trying to, you know, reuse those artists for multiple things. And I'm always looking for new people to do it. So that's why we're always try to do, you know, every tour we have new shirt designs, online store with new shirt designs. And like you said, you know, every show, ideally every show has its own flyer. That's really cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, you kind of you kind of spoke about something there, curation and curating, and specifically this tour coming up, your headline tour, a very diverse curated show. Obviously, you have the 200 Stab Wounds, which is, you know, brutal death metal. But then you have bands like Fearing and Narrowhead, which are a lot different. You know, just you know, Narrowhead's more of kind of post-hardcore melodic stuff. And to be completely honest, I'm not familiar with Fearing. Was this something that you specifically you wanted to curate, kind of a mixed bill?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to, I wanted to have. I like going to mixed bill shows. I think it's a cool. Just a cool vibe for to not just have to, not that it's a burden to sit through five metal bands, because it's cool. You know, you like metal, you want to go see metal bands. But I think if your tastes are a little bit broader, you can appreciate maybe a little bit of dynamics within the run of the show. So I tried to lean heavily into that kind of. My idea was kind of like a mixtape vibe, you know, like you're going to see a show of a mixtape that you'd make, which has different types of styles. And they're all different, but if you kind of look at it as a whole, there is an overlapping element on a lot of them, you know, whether, you know, it might look like a huge difference between us and Fearing, but there's definitely some nuanced overlap. Of different things. Like you said, you're not super familiar with Fearing, but they're a band that I really like. They put out a record a couple of years ago, I think now, that I was one of my favorites of the year. It's called Shadow. Mm-hmm. I think they've got a new one out, but it's like kind of post-punk gothy sort of stuff that I really like. So there, you know, it might sound a little bit different, but it's definitely darker. You know, it's just a different, a different type of darker music, you know, which I think as a whole, I think it's cool. And, you know, we're a metal band. We'll always be a metal band. We're a death metal band, but we all like different types of music. And I think that people that want to come see us or our fans or showgoers, they also, you know, have different interests and like all kinds of music and eclectic tastes. So we try to cater to that. And we try to do, you know, we just did a tour with Obituary, you know, so it's like, you know, we can do a straight up death metal tour, or we can do different things.
And you toured with Noctilus, which is just like more of a hardcore and kind of metalcore band. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's definitely, I don't want to say calculated, but it's definitely the type of things that we're doing. There's thought behind all of it. We're not just randomly putting things together, and the tours that we do choose to do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thought behind it, and the tour, like this tour, is a tour that we put together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought put into it. So it seems to be that the reception has been pretty well. There's definitely a couple comments or whatever that people were like, oh, this is weird. But mostly people are like, oh yeah, this is really cool. So that was validating, and I'm really excited for it.
Awesome. Well, you know, first couple years of when I was going to like punk shows and just going to honestly any concert when I was just a little kid, there would be a show that had like a really gnarly new metal band and then like a death metal band and then like a ska band and a punk band. And I kind of miss the vibe of just like it all being in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, yeah. I had the same experience growing up, and I feel like most people, unless you're in a place, you know, so a huge city like L.A., New York, or something like that, mm-hmm. where there's enough people into underground or subculture, that there's enough people that it can be kind of segregated into different types.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing up in the Phoenix area, it's like, if you were into weird, you're like into underground music.
Yeah.
Then you'd go to a punk show, you go to a hardcore show, you go to a metal show, you go to a ska show, you know, like whatever it is. And then all those bands would, you know, sometimes they'd all be on the same show, or there'd be the same people at the shows, no matter what the different genre was. So I think that's, you know, maybe a little bit of a throwback to older days.
So this upcoming tour, you know, is it's a headlining tour, and you just got off a couple of support tours. Do you approach that any different, or is it pretty much the same approach?
We definitely, for this tour, since it's our headlining tour and it's our first real headlining tour, actually.
Yeah.
Obviously our set's going to be a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. But we've definitely put a lot of work in preparation into making our, you know, having a little bit more of a stage show, you know, whether it's, I mean, we're not Guar or anything. We're not going to have pyro, as much as I would like to have pyro.
Yeah.
But you know, just kind of adding some more details into it that you can put a little bit more, time and effort into your you know, your stage show, that you don't have to put up and tear down in 10 minutes as if you're support on a tour. So that's definitely the biggest difference between this and other support tours that we've done.
Okay. Right on. Well, you know, something I meant to ask, we were talking about kind of diverse lineups and stuff, and I seen you guys have been on, you know, some kind of festivals that you wouldn't expect metal bands to be on festivals. I saw, I'm not sure if you did it yet or if it got postponed, the Post Malone Festival.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That got, postponed or canceled or whatever it might be. But yeah, that would have been cool. I mean, who knows? It might have been really weird for us. I'm not sure what our reception would have been, but I was excited for it.
What has been the most diverse or most random show you guys have ever played?
That's a good question. I mean, that if that would have happened, that definitely would have been it. I'm not sure. That's a good. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question off the top of my head.
No worries, man. And like I said, you know, I actually interviewed Code Orange the other day, and I had some of these kind of questions, and Jamie was just like, dude, I just woke up, man. Like, what the fuck? He's like, I just asked me the generic questions, man.
I mean, it's one of those situations where as soon as we hang up the phone, I'll probably be like, oh yeah, that was definitely the weirdest one, but there's not one that sticks out. Maybe I'm trying to block it out of my mind forever.
There you go. So in one of those compilation videos that you put up on your own, kind of like showing some of the videos I was watching, your guitarist, big dude, was moshing during Knocked Loose. And he was just setting the pit ablaze, man. When was the last time you personally, Chase, got caught in a mosh? When was the last time you were in a pit?
I stage dove a couple times during Obituary on the last tour.
Nice.
That's kind of like a tour ritual that we have, like one of the last shows.
Yeah.
All of us just get in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, on the last tour with Obituary, it was one of the last shows. I think it might have been in New Jersey. I think we were all stage diving because it was one of the few shows that didn't have a barrier. So like us, everyone from our band, everyone from Enforce, everyone from even Municipal Waste, everybody was stage diving and going crazy. It was a lot of fun. I've never been a huge mosher. I definitely have never done the like hardcore dancing moshing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's never been my thing. I've definitely been in like a push pit.
Mm-hmm.
But above all those things, I would prefer to just stage dive, you know,
more stage,
which
dive.
I think it's in the same realm.
Yeah. You know?
It's so I've staged dove more recently than anything.
You know, I just, you mentioning this, I didn't even prepare this question, but I think the first time that we talked during the pandemic, it was right after everything got shut down and you guys were about to go on the Decibel tour.
Okay.
And now you just finished up the Decibel tour. So it's just, that's awesome, man. That's cool that you guys got, you know, you got back on it and it actually worked out this time.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a huge bummer because we, in the 2020, when we were fully prepared to go, the tour got canceled just a couple of days before it was supposed to start. So, I mean, I think that every band that you've probably talked to all has a similar story of, you know, the pandemic. So it was cool that we were able to make it happen. It was a different lineup. We were the only band that was on the 2020 lineup that ended up being on the 2022 one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was probably a better lineup for our band anyway.
Less black metal and more thrash.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was cool. We definitely appreciated being asked back and to get some sort of closure or, you know, retribution, whatever you want to call it.
It's got to be kind of wild. You know, like, I know, you know, you're a huge fan of like old school death metal and that kind of stuff. And, you know, being able to be, you know, kind of road dogs with these bands that you looked up to, like Obituary, you know, and just the other day I interviewed Max Cavalera and he was talking about, he's like, oh, I love Chase from Gatecreeper. I love that band. I always see him because we live in Arizona. So it's like,
yeah,
these people that, you know, it's corny to say, but they're kind of metal icons, you know? And now they're your road dogs, you know? It's got to be pretty cool, man.
It is really cool, man. I'm super lucky. I'm super grateful to be able to do what we're doing. I definitely have to like take a step back and, you know, let's afraid like pinch myself sometimes like, whoa, this is crazy. You know, like these people are who I looked up to are arguably my peers now, you know? They're definitely multiple steps ahead and they have a whole legacy that they've already established, but yeah, we're touring with them. You know, like we toured with Cannibal Corpse. That was probably the first, you know, big kind of bucket list one that we did. And that was 5 years ago now. I don't know. Did I talk to you on that one? Cause we definitely played at Pneumo's with, Power Trip.
Yep. With Power Trip.
I'm not sure. Because I know that I came down to the studio with you, but that might have been with the Nails tour.
I think that was the Nails tour, and then I saw you at the next one, but I interviewed you. It was whichever one you didn't have a mustache on.
Yeah, that was probably the Nails one. Yeah. I remember that I think I got some sort of online, whether it's Facebook, whatever, a memory notification of me being in the studio. Oh, but I was talking about the Cannibal Corpse because, you know, we toured with them and we broed down with them and we keep in contact with them. And then just went on the last Obituary tour when we were in Florida, Corpse Grinder came to the show and he was just hanging out. Yeah. And it was like, you know, it was one of those moments where I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like it's after the show, everybody's like, the other dudes are like taking shots with Corpse Grinder. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, this is a weird reality that I live in, you know?
An unexpected reality. See what I did there?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have to say it. Not everyone is so receptive to you guys or to the new generation. A couple months back on a Knotfest panel, Chris Barnes, the original vocalist of Cannibal Corpse, the vocalist of 6 Feet Under, slammed the whole panel, said he was disgusted by it or something. I chatted with the singer of Undeath. He actually thanked Chris Barnes for the free publicity. What was your reaction when you saw Chris Barnes' comments on your video?
We were on tour when that happened.
And okay.
Ironically, we love 6 Feet Under, and like we listen to 6 Feet Under in the van all the time.
Sure.
So we were kind of like almost a little, not butthurt, but we were like, oh man, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny, you know, like I definitely like in a normal situation, I would just kind of ignore it.
Sure.
But in that case, I kind of like fired back a little bit just because it was funny. And Chris Barnes might be kind of low hanging fruit at this point, as far as death metal. And I know that there was a lot more, it was definitely a loaded thing because of his, you know, feud with Cannibal Corpse whatever it is. So I didn't really take it personally.
You guys got strays.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were caught in the crossfire.
Totally.
And any part that I got involved in, it was purely just cause it was fun.
For sure.
But overall we were a little bit bummed, I guess, because we do like 6 Feet Under and we still do like 6 Feet Under, and that doesn't change that. But, it was just kind of a comical situation, if anything.
Yeah, I gotta say, I have a just on my YouTube channel. I don't have that many, you know, viewers or whatever on my personal YouTube channel. But this was like a couple weeks before this whole, you know, Knotfest panel thing. I randomly uploaded a video of him reading 6 Feet Under lyrics or Cannibal Corpse lyrics on Metal Shop, just as part of a segment called Brutal Poetry. And as soon as that fucking Knotfest thing took off. Jesus Christ, dude. My normal things on my YouTube page have like maybe at most 300 views. That thing has like 21,000 fucking views now. It's like,
nice.
Jesus, dude. Like, I guess people were just like looking for anything Chris Barnes. It was just so funny that I was just like, people aren't watching my videos. They're just specifically looking for anything Chris Barnes, I think. So it was like,
yeah,
all I right.
Mean, you got the free publicity too, you know. Chris Barnes got his. Everybody did. So.
Yeah, there you go, man.
It was a stunt, you know. It was a stunt.
What's the deal with? Okay, so you obviously embrace it and kind of and joke about it because we talked about it recently, or not recently, but on the last interview we did, you have a license plate that says Poser, so you're kind of you know joke about it, but. I've seen online, there's like people that make meme pages dissing Gatecreeper. Like, what's the deal? Why are you guys like the punching bag at times of like these elitist metal underground people? Like, I don't get it. You guys kick ass. And what? Is it just because you guys are young, attractive people?
I mean, I think that it's because we put ourselves out there. And like you said, you know, whether it's be putting on Posty Fest or whatever it is, like, we're not afraid to do something that's different, you know, like our music, we're not one of those bands that's like, we're doing something that's different. We're, you know, changing the game, pushing the envelope. We're just making that we like, you know, that's obviously referential to, you know, old school death metal and the bands that we like. But as far as how we present ourselves, I think that we have presented ourselves in a way that's more, I guess, accessible to people outside of death metal.
Sure.
And we've gotten like reception from that. So it kind of like snowballs a little bit. Whereas, you know, say that there's someone that's like, I don't really like X music, but I like these bands, you know? So someone's like, I don't like a whole lot of death metal or metal, but I like, they name five bands. So Gatecreeper might be one of those bands now.
True. Yeah.
However that happened. And so I think that that has made people turn their backs against us, who may have been a fan before, who knows. And I think that it's just, I don't know. I do joke about it. I play into it
sure.
because I think it's funny. I think that there's a lot of, it's kind of based on a lot of like misconceptions, maybe, you know, like a classic one that we used to get was like, oh, they're hardcore kids who just heard Obituary yesterday or whatever, or just heard Bolt Thrower or whatever it is, which is not true. You know, like that's it. So to start, I'm just like, I'm not even mad. I'm just like, that's just not true.
Yeah.
But it was like a common thing. I think we came up at a small window of when there was a huge crossover of like hardcore kids getting into death metal,
like Black Breath.
And there was a lot of bands. Yeah, exactly. Black Breath, Trap Them, mm-hmm. you know, like, and then even bands, you know, 10 years ago where it was like Shebalba and, you know, that kind of brought in the death metal thing into hardcore. And we came up in that, you know? And so I think we got dismissal that way. I think that we had a kind of a quick rise to where we're at, whether it's signing to Relapse, you know, for our first album or whatever it is. I think people just want to look for a reason to discredit you. You know, it's not like, oh, they're doing this band and they're able to find some sort of success. And so they must be doing something. There must be some sort of like, you know, magic that's happening. You know, they must be, industry plants or something, you know, like there's always,
the metal,
I think people
cabal.
Are just, yeah, if you, I think people are just looking for a reason to, you know, discredit any sort of efforts that you've put in, you know. So I think it's funny, the license plate thing was, you know, I didn't get my driver's license until I was in my late 20s, and when I started the band, I didn't even have a car. I was like taking the bus to work in my call center job.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward several years later, I was able to buy myself a nice car.
Yeah.
And people were, and it's a white car, and people were literally like, that's not very metal. And So I was all right. So I got a license plate that said Poser on it just because I thought it was funny.
Absolutely.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what people can hate? Max Cavalera likes your band. I think you guys won. So I'm just going to say that, dude. Unfortunately,
I won't say that it doesn't bother me just because, you know, I'm a sensitive person, I guess, you know, and some people in bands, they just are like, oh, I don't read reviews. You know, like I don't read any of that. I'm one of the people that are like, I do read all of it. Mm-hmm. Whether it's like comments or whatever. So, you know, being a human being, like you don't want to read people saying like mean things about you. But I think you have to have a little bit of thick skin, and you can't just like pop off on anybody who is saying things, no matter, like I said, no matter how hard I would like to correct someone and just say, actually what you're saying is not true. I know better than that. You know, that's a losing game. So it doesn't bother me, or I guess if it does bother me overall, it's like, it doesn't affect me in any way, you know?
If only Seth Putnam was still around, you guys could get the ultimate compliment and be the subjects of an anal song.
Exactly. I guess Chris Barnes is as close as it's going to get. So.
Hey, there you go. instead of Kyle from Incantation has a mustache, it would be Chase from Gate Creeper has a mustache. That'd be the song.
I would love that.
So we didn't chat about this, but... after we discussed the new album last time we talked, you guys signed to Nuclear Blast, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How did that come about, man? Were they just super pumped on everything you guys did with Relapse and wanted to sign you up?
Yeah. I mean, there was a time period when before we had signed to Relapse and we had recorded our first record that we were kind of in limbo. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Todd Jones put me in touch with the guy from Nuclear Blast because Nails had just signed to Nuclear Blast.
Yeah.
And there was a time when it was kind of in the mix then before we even signed to Relapse. But I think that they wanted to wait a little bit to see what we would do, you know, because at that point we hadn't even put out a full length yet.
Yeah.
So we signed with Relapse and it was awesome. And we did our two records there and it was time to see what else was going on. So we kind of looked around, was whether it was we were going to stay with Relapse or do a different label. So that there was a little bit of a free agent status, you know? Mm-hmm. We Nuclear Blast came back into the picture, and they, like you said, they liked what we had done, and they had we had definitely grown exponentially from when we had talked to them last, and we had a couple of records under our belt and a lot of touring, and so we ended up out of all the options that we had, they ended up being the best one, so we signed with them, and they you know, we did that almost definitely over a year ago, is during the pandemic. Yeah. And, you know, at that point, we had released Deserted in at the end of 2019, and we hadn't really been able to tour mm-hmm. on it. And then during the, you know, when we weren't doing shows, we put out another record. Mm-hmm. So I told him going into it, it's like, hey, we're probably not going to do, you know, I didn't want to sign and then be like, all right, we need another record right now.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we still have two records that we haven't even toured on. So we're going to take a little bit of time to just tour mm-hmm. and then we can get into it for the next record. So that's where we're at for now. Just this year, we're writing and stuff, but we're just focusing this year on touring as much as we can.
Killer. Well, you yeah. answered my next question, so you know. Yeah.
Awesome,
dude. So Chase, just a couple stupid questions here to end this interview. So Pusha T recently wrote an Arby's theme song dissing McDonald's. If Gate Creeper were to have to choose one fast food chain to write a song for, who would it be?
I think my band as a whole would say Texas Roadhouse.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, that's our, you know, if we have a day off on tour, we're going to Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse. All right. That'd be hard too.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, again, Gate Creeper going to be coming back May 10th at Numo's with Narrowhead, 200 Stab Wounds, and Fearing. It is their headlining tour through the U.S., and we're stoked to get you back in the Northwest. Any final words for the Northwest before we let you go?
You just covered it. Like, you know, it's our first time back there in a while. The last two tours that we've done haven't hit the Northwest at all.
Yeah.
So it's been over 2 years since we've been there. And we're very excited to be back. We've played at Numo's a couple times.
Yes.
It's a great venue. So we're excited.
Awesome. Chase, thanks for chatting, man.
Of course, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.